Before we get into our lesson this morning, first of all, if you are a medical person, nurse, doctor, and you can fill in the blank, and you are planning on going to the country of Belize with the church in August on our mission trip, the country of Belize requires all medical licenses 4 months before a team gets there. So we need a copy of your medical license yesterday, actually. I mean, we really need it as soon as possible. Now, as far as the trip, anybody can go. We're looking for people to work with kids. We're going to do some building things. I mean, there's all kinds of things to do. But the only people where we need actual certification license are the medical personnel. And that makes sense, right? They want to make sure that we're not bringing a bunch of quacks over to help folks in the villages. So we need those as soon as possible. You can just take a picture of it and then email it to us. You can email it to me or Pastor Gary. If you would like to go on our trip, you can just sign up one of the cards and after church, come back to the Connection Center and drop that off or speak to us afterwards. Anybody and everybody is welcome to come. It'll be the time of your life. And then Pastor Steve wanted me to give the excitement a little plug on top of the video because we're kind of getting down to crunch time. So if you could help out, that's basically what excitement is for those of you that are new to our church. It's our annual basically winter carnival for kids up to about age 10 or so. And this whole auditorium looks like a carnival, if you can imagine that. I mean, it's crazy in here for a couple of hours. But we need a lot of people to help with the kids, the games. Also, in the foyer, you can sign up. If you want to bring candy and prizes, you can sign up or just bring those. There's a big Easter basket out there. You can throw them in there. But if you'd like to help out, we'd appreciate it very, very much. All right. Everybody doing okay? Everybody awake? Alive? Well, I'm just checking. I thought it was just me here today. I don't know. You know, sometimes in public speaking, you kind of wonder if anybody's out there. But we've got three or four, praise the Lord. And we'll go with that. But seriously, we're so glad that you are here. By the way, if this is your very first time to our church, you're in a safe place. And you're in a place that loves Jesus. You're in a place that loves the Bible. And you're in a place that cares about your eternal destiny. And that's heaven. So God bless you and thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask Pencil if he would come. I'm going to ask everybody to stand, if you would, today as we do our responsive reading. We said last week, for those of you that were here, that during this particular series, we were going to do responsive reading. And if that's new for you, if you don't know what that is, simply means that I read one verse and that you guys read the second verse. Now, responsive reading is not standing there with your mouth shut thinking about what you can do this afternoon. Okay, responsive reading means that when Pencil reads, you respond, right? So it's not a duo, okay? So I read a verse, then Pencil will lead, and all of you read the verse together, and then I read a verse, and then all of you read the verse together, okay? We want everybody involved. We want everybody reading God's Word, okay? Amen? Because God's Word is very, very important. And so we don't do responsive reading very often, but maybe we should do it more, and I'll check with the pastor and see if maybe that's something we should do, okay? But anyway, we're doing it during this series because I think it is very, very important. It's good to see you, Steve. I'm glad you're back on your feet. All right, let's begin. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus, I'll read first, then you read with pencil. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
He answered, "Who is this, Lord, that I may believe in him?"
Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who was talking with you."
And he said, "Lord, I believe, and you worship him."
And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind."
Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?"
And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains."
"Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber.
But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep.
To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he
When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice.
A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers.
This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them.
So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.
All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.
I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture."
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm going to ask Pastor John if he'd come and lead us in a word of prayer and to ask God's blessing before we sit down this morning. It's always good after we read the word of God to pray. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Pastor John, if you'd lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we're so glad to be in your house today. We thank you for the good ground in each heart set and ready to receive your word. We thank you for your blessing on your word and for what it's going to do on the inside of us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pencil, you can take this. All right, you may be seated. Well, once again, good morning. It's always exciting for me. I look forward to Sundays. I know this is going to sound odd to you, but every day. I mean, for me, every day could be a Sunday. There was an author who wrote a book, Every Day is a Friday. And you may know that is. I won't mention his name. But maybe I'll write a book. Every day is a Sunday, right? Every day is a Sunday. Because it's the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day is every day, right? So thank you for being here with us on the Lord's Day. I want to take just a moment and give you some background before we get into the message, because context is so important to understand the content. Understand that? You have to get the context or the background. That's just a fancy word meaning the background to understand the content. So with that being said, John chapter 9. There's a guy who's born blind. And now he's older, he's an adult, and he runs into Jesus. And Jesus begins to converse with him. And Jesus, what he does for him is he gets some mud, some dirt, some clay. And he does something that at least ladies would think of, probably some guys, but mostly ladies, he spits in it. And then he kind of, you know, it's kind of like Play-Doh. If you have kids or grandkids, or remember when you used to play Play-Doh? And then he took that mud, that dirt, and he put it on the guy's eyes, rubbed it on the guy's eyes. And he told him, he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And you can Google that and see pictures of the pool of Siloam and all of that. And he goes to the pool of Siloam. It's interesting, after one of the services, I think the first service, after the service back at the Connection Center, somebody came up and they said, "Pastor, how could he find the pool with mud on his eyes?" I said, "Well, the guy's blind, right? So he couldn't have found it anyway." And she, all of a sudden, the lights came on. Oh, yeah, that's right. So he goes to the pool and he washes. I don't think she was really got the whole message. But anyway, I think she was blind listening or something. But anyway, so the blind guy has, picture this, he's got mud on his eyes, and obviously somebody has to lead him to the pool, right? And he goes to the pool, he washes, and when he washes, he comes either up out of the pool or he lifts his face up out of the pool, he can see. He is blind, but now he can see. What an amazing transformation in the life of this person. In chapter 9 is the story. We don't have time to go all the nuances of the story. But part of the story is that his family is interrogated by the Pharisees. You see, Jesus did this miracle on the Sabbath, and that was against the law of the Pharisees. It wasn't against the law of God, because God never keeps people from doing good on the Lord's Day. So Jesus performs this miracle, does good in the life of this person. The guy is now able to see, and the religious leaders complain about it. Well, they interrogate the guy twice. Also, they interrogate his family, his mother and father. And basically, his mom and dad say, why don't you go talk to him? We didn't have our eyes fixed. Go talk to him. His neighbors want to really talk to him and find out, was this really the guy that was blind and now we can see? So there's all of these doubts and conjecturing going on between groups of people. And we get down to verse 35. And then I want them to put that verse on the screen, which they've done, which is awesome. This is one of the neatest verses in all the Bible. You're going, Jerry, what are you talking about? It's a verse that you've read over, skipped over, never thought of before. But look, Jesus heard. What did he hear? You see what happened after that man washed his face and eyes and he could see. When he was interrogated by the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day, he kind of gave them a lecture that they needed to believe in the man that healed his eyes. And let me tell you something, that went over like a lead balloon. And you know what they did to the guy? They kicked him out of the church. Now, in his time, it wouldn't have been church. It would have been what? The synagogue. They kicked him out of the synagogue. Here's a guy whose life has been transformed, and all he does is tell them about the guy who did it and said, you know, you might want to give this guy a little attention, and they throw him out of the church. Now, here's the verse. Here's the awesome part. Jesus heard they threw him out of church, and he goes and finds him. Let me tell you something. Aren't you glad that Jesus finds us? He searches for us. Do you know you were lost, dead in trespasses and sin, and Jesus looked for you? I'm still trying to figure out why Jesus looked for me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I know one thing. I'm sure glad he did. And God loved this person so much, and God loves us so much that he searches for us. This man was kicked out of church, and Jesus shows his compassion, and he finds him, and he asks him a question. A question for all time. Do you believe that I am the Messiah? Do you believe that I am God? Do you believe that I am the Son of Man? And that's what Jesus used. In fact, Jesus used this title, the Son of Man, more than any other title when he referred to himself in the New Testament. The other two services didn't get that point because I just thought of it. If you listen to all three sermons, they're all different. You got Jody and Bob, you're getting that today, right? They've been here the whole three times. You say, why? They're thick-headed. They need it all three times, all right? No, actually, Jody is going to play at the end of the service, all three services. You'll see in a minute. But I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm just so thankful when I was lost, Jesus came looking for me. We could stop the message right there. Because really, folks, that's what it's about. He searches and he found us. The man then responds in the next verse. Well, who is this Lord that I may believe in him? And then the verse 37, Jesus says, it's the one you're talking with. You see, for the first time, he could see physically who Jesus was. And when we come to Jesus spiritually, it's the first time that we really see who Jesus is. It's a great story. Well, Jesus then, after going through all of this story and learning about all that was going on, of course, taking the man in, he talks to the Pharisees, and they are so blind, thinking they have no sin, that they're okay, they're righteous. And Jesus says, well, if you think that you can see, then just stay blind. You won't listen. In other words, your heart's cold. Your mind is cut off. You know, I've found some things over the years as a pastor and talking to people. There are some people that at least at that point in their life, they will not listen. Their mind is closed. They are blind as blind can be. And the sad part is they are like the Pharisees. They think they can see. And folks, that is the worst case scenario to be blind and think that you can see. You say, well, Jerry, I thought you were teaching on chapter 10. I am, because here's what you have to understand. The Bible years ago, I mean years ago, if you were to take a Bible, what they would call scrolls, and you were open it up, you would find that it was just all together. There was no punctuation, no end of sentences, no paragraph indentations, no chapters, no verses. So finally, some guys put their heads together and they thought, you know, this would be a lot easier to understand if we put some punctuation in it, and we might want to parse out the verses and parse out the chapters. But this lesson today, you can't understand chapter 10 unless you know the background, the context of John chapter 9. Because John chapter 9 leads into the story of Jesus being the shepherd in the door, which is John chapter 10. So John chapter 10 is all in red letters except for verse number 6. So if you have a Bible and you have a red letter edition, that means those red letters are the words of Jesus. And so Jesus speaks to the Pharisees in John chapter 10 and in verse number 1. If we look at that verse, it says, truly, truly. You say, Jerry, what does truly, truly mean? Are you ready? It means pay attention. That's what it means. This is important. Have you ever dealt with somebody? Maybe it's teaching or coaching or maybe an employee, and it's like, hey, listen, this is very important. Jesus is saying, this is very important. I say to you, who's the you? It's the Pharisees of chapter 9. It's the false religious teachers of the day of Jesus, and not only the day of Jesus, before Jesus, and actually even through today. But the context and the interpretation of the chapter has to do with chapter 9. When we look at the Bible, and again, this is important to understand, we need to interpret the Bible in the proper context in which it was written. But we can take that interpretation, and by application, we can apply it to our lives. Understand the difference? So here Jesus says, I'm saying something to you guys, you false teachers who think you can see but you're blind. He who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. So basically what Jesus does is he calls the Pharisees who think they can see but they can't see spiritually. He calls them thieves and robbers. Why did he call them thieves and robbers? Because you're going to find out in a few moments that they were destructive to the sheep of Israel. You see, the sheep in the sheepfold that we read about pictures Judaism. And they were keeping people in Judaism. They were holding people back from seeing the truth of Jesus. Because they did not believe in Jesus. They did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. And therefore, they were keeping the people of Israel in blindness. And so Jesus says, you guys are nothing but a bunch of thieves and robbers. Boy, Jesus was quite complimentary, wasn't he? Yeah. Jesus, by the way, was not politically correct. I don't know how he would have survived today. Of course, he didn't survive well in the first century either. He got himself crucified. He might today, too. You see, Jesus loved people enough to tell people the truth. Now, to fully understand the story, we have to grasp the fact that in every village, I shouldn't say every village, but most villages, there was a center part of the village where they would house all the sheep, called the sheepfold. And at the end of every single day, the shepherds would bring their sheep, and the porter or the gatekeeper would open the gate, and that shepherd's sheep would go in to this kind of communal sheepfold. So let's just picture, for example, five shepherds, and let's say it was a very small village, and each shepherd had about 20 sheep. At the end of the day, if I was the doorkeeper and Pencil was bringing his sheep in, I'd say, hey, Pencil, how you doing? I'd open the gate, and his sheep, he would say, he would lead them in, and they would go on in. Now picture five individuals doing that in a day. The next morning, Pencil would come. I'd say, hey, Pencil, how you doing? By the way, Pencil just became a grandfather yesterday. Congratulations, Pencil. Yeah. Congratulations. Yep. Awesome. Very awesome. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I know where I was. Yeah. So Pencil comes. Papa Pencil comes, right? And he comes and he says, "Hey, Jim, I'm here to get my sheep for the day." "Oh, yeah, no problem." So he would go in and he would call his sheep. "Hey, guys, it's me, Papa Pencil." And all the sheep would follow Pencil. Now, here's what's interesting. If Jason would come at the same time, and John would come at the same time, and even Bob would come at the same time, and they all called Pencil's sheep, they wouldn't go with them. They'd only come to Pencil. Philip Keller writes in his book entitled, "A Shepherd Looks at the Good Shepherd and His Sheep." Out of his book, he writes this: "The relationship which rapidly develops between a shepherd and the sheep under his care is to a definite degree dependent upon the use of the shepherd's voice. Sheep quickly become accustomed to their owner's particular voice. They are acquainted with its unique tone. They know its peculiar sounds and inflections. They can distinguish it from that of any other person. If a stranger," Mr. Keller said, as an example, "should come among them, they would not recognize nor respond to his voice in the same way they would to that of the shepherd. Even if the visitor should use the same words and phrases as that of the rightful owner, they would not react in the same way. It is a case," listen closely, this is the key, "it is the case of becoming actually conditioned to the familiar nuances and personal accent of their shepherd's call." They wouldn't follow Jason. They wouldn't follow John. They wouldn't follow Bob. They wouldn't follow Jerry. They would only follow Papa Pencil. Because they were conditioned. Now, why would they follow Pencil and not the other guys? Because, you see, Pencil would give his life for the sheep. Pencil talked to the sheep every single day when they were out in the field. Now you know where we're going with the story, right? I mean, they, what kids would call today, best friends forever, or BFFs. When Pencil would give a command, they would follow. Because there was a trust. There was something intuitive to the animal, to the human, that was special. And the sheep would respond only to the shepherd's voice. Very interesting, isn't it? The name of Jesus is oftentimes used to represent something or called something. And I want to share some things with you really quick on some titles that the Bible refers to Jesus, but you're going to have to listen very, very quick. Say, listen quick? Yeah, listen quick. And I'm only going to give you a few. He is called the Amen, Revelation 3, the Alpha and Omega, Revelation 22, the Advocate, 1 John 2, the Apostle, Hebrews 3, the Author and Perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 1, Hebrews 12 rather, the Author of Salvation, Hebrews 2, the Beginning, source, origin, the creation of God, Revelation 3. The branch, Jeremiah 23. The bread of life, John 6. The cornerstone, Ephesians 2. The consolation of Israel, Luke 2. The counselor, Isaiah 9. The deliverer, Romans 11. The door of the sheep, John 10. We're just getting started. Eternal Father, Isaiah 9. The faithful witness, Revelation 1. The first and the last, Revelation 1. The firstborn, Revelation 1. And over all creation, Colossians 1. The forerunner, Hebrews 6. The great high priest, Hebrews 4. God bless forever, Romans 9, the guardian of our souls, 1 Peter 2, the head of the church, Colossians 1, the Holy One of God, John 6, I am, John 8, Emmanuel, Isaiah 7. We're still only getting started. Here's the point. Of all the names that Jesus is referred to, possibly, arguably, the most endearing is that of a shepherd. After the first service, my grandson was in the hallway, so we talked and did high fives, and we walked around a little bit. And those of you that have tiny kids, he's only five, those of you that have tiny kids, whether you're a grandparent or not, there's something about little kids, two things about little kids. Number one, they're pitiful. Now, I mean that in a good way. What I mean is that my grandson, little Weston, if you were to place him outside and leave him alone, he'd die, right? I mean, he wouldn't know to, I mean, he'd die. Can't get in the car and drive to where it's warm. He would die. He's pitiful. Do you know when we were lost and dead and trespassed and sin, in a sense, do you realize that we were pitiful? What do we mean by pitiful? What we mean is we were hopeless. We didn't know where to turn to get help. And you know, when Jesus the shepherd and the door, which is kind of what we're talking about today, when God looked down and he saw Jerry, he said, Jerry, and boy, you all can agree with this, he said, you are one pitiful creature. But you know, I noticed something else this morning with Weston. He's only 5 and a half, and he's pitiful. But you know, there's something else about him, and your kids and grandkids too, and you'll all agree with this, is not only is he pitiful, but you know what? In his pitiful state, he, to me, is the most precious thing in the world. He's pitiful and precious at the same time. And I always tell him something when I'm with him. And if you asked him, he could fill in the blanks. I'll hug him and I say, Weston, of all the little boys in the world, I love you the most. See, I can do that because he's my only grandson. If I had two, I'd have to change the verbiage. But I don't have to with him. Of all the little boys in the world, and you know what? That's what Jesus does to us. He kind of takes us, and we're pitiful. But you know what? In the eyes of Jesus, we're precious. And he takes us, and he goes, Jerry, of all the losers in the world, I love you the most. Now, he loves us all the same, but you know what I'm getting at. Because, you see, Jesus would have died for just one of us. So, in a sense, he does love us the most, doesn't he? Think about that. That's what the shepherd does for the sheep. That's why they follow only the voice of the shepherd. Because of all the sheep in the world, the shepherd loves his sheep the most. And they know that. They experience that. Well, there's a warning. We're going to skip a little bit because the preacher's long this morning. But there's a warning that Jesus cautions the sheep. And in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 15, there's a great warning that the shepherd's concerned. And we see it as Jesus speaks. And notice, he says, beware, sheep, of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. I mean, they may look like a sheep, and I've shared this example all two services, so I'll do it again. But, you know, I love cereal. I think I could live on cereal. In fact, I do live on cereal. I mean, I have it for breakfast. I can have it for lunch. Oftentimes, I have it for dinner. And it's that Special K with those dried strawberries. That is so, man, that's good stuff. I was going to bring a box and put up here, but I thought that might be going too far, but I should have done it. And then Jane buys me these pecans or walnuts and raspberries, and I put that on there, and I'm telling you, I'd rather have that than I think a filet mignon. I just love cereal. But a few months back, or I don't know when it was, it doesn't matter, I was getting my favorite meal together. put some milk in there, and, you know, you kind of stir it around, get the raspberries in there, you know, with the fake strawberries, the dried ones, and those are good if you, you know. Sometimes I'll put real strawberries in there, and sometimes blackberries, sometimes some bananas, and it kind of looks like a fruit salad by the time I'm done, but there's cereal in there somewhere. So I took a bite, and I could tell that there was something wrong. It wasn't the cereal or the fruit. Guess what it was? It was the milk. And it wasn't, now here's the point, it wasn't to the point of gagging, it wasn't curdled yet, you know, wasn't, you know, sour cream yet or anything. And I could have eaten it and probably would have been okay, but there was just this tent of like, this is spoiled. Or we're headed that way. I probably could have had it, but you know, the next day I couldn't have, but you're kind of on the fringe. But here's the point. It only took one bite, and I knew something was different. You know what Jesus is saying as we look at some more of these verses? Beware of the false prophets. Beware, are you ready? Of milk that is spoiled. Be careful. And you know, I can listen to a guy for 5 minutes, and I know I've got spoiled milk. Here's the thing, I taught the first service, and I forgot the second service. Because I don't do word for word, I just have an outline. This is it right here. So if I go blank, we're all in trouble. But I don't think I'll ever have that problem. Do you? Probably not. So we need to understand that as we're aware of false prophets who come and teach and try to get into the church and tear things up, we need to understand a difference between what we like in church and what wolves do. For example, if I come next week and I say, okay, we are starting a series out of the New Testament that Jesus is not the Messiah, he's not God, and he did not come in the flesh and die for humanity. I have become part of the ravenous wolves. If I come next week and I say, okay, we're going to do a series that the Bible is not the Word of God, but just some great literature, I become part of the gang called Ravenous Wolves. If I come next week and say, you know what? Salvation is no longer by faith and grace, Jesus Christ. It's by being a good person. Guess what? I become part of the Ravenous Wolves. Here's where our evangelical church is, and I don't care what denomination it is, here's where we've really struggled. Whether it's Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, you name it. Bible churches, Calvary chapels, what we would call evangelical churches that preach the Bible like we do. In other words, we believe in the literal interpretation of the Word of God, allowing for figures of speech and parables and those things. Here's where we have really dropped the ball. We have equated preferences and likes with major doctrines. That's a real problem. What Jesus is talking about is not what we wear to church or the music we might like or the Bible versions that we might want to read. He's talking about doctrine, here's the point, that takes people and ruins their spiritual eternity through false teaching. Listen, you can listen, you can read, you can do anything you want. That will not make a difference where you go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. If you get teaching that teaches you that Jesus Christ is not God, that's going to affect your eternal destiny. You will die in split hell wide open and wondering what happened. Because ravenous wolves have got in and they've mistaught the people of God. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, a couple of verses we want to look at as well. Paul meets with the elders from the church of Ephesus, the leaders, pastors, the deacons, the Bible teachers, and he's not going to see them again. And here's what he says, and this is shocking. He says, after my departure, savage wolves, false teachers will come in among you, not sparing the flock. The flock are the believers. You and I, And then verse 30, I think we've got another verse. You guys got the next verse? I think we have it. There we go. And from among your own selves. And this is what's heartbreaking. From your inner ranks, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw the disciples, the followers after them. It's happening all over even today. We see it. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Apostle Peter, who was an eyewitness and was with Jesus, he said, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. You know, I consider myself a balanced guy, but that would all be depend on how you define balanced, okay? But I am shocked at some people who follow some of the craziest teachings. And I'm not even talking about just Christian teachings. I'm just talking about teachings at large. And many of these people, and not to segregate classes of people, but many of them are professors and doctors and lawyers and, you know, engineers. And you believe what? In aliens? And I mean, what are you talking about? Different worlds and real beliefs. You don't believe there's any God and there's no salvation, but yet you go to church? Well, why would you go to church if the... I thank God that He created me as a simpleton. That means just above dumb. Yeah, that's what it means. If you had trouble figuring that out. I'm just a simple guy. And I'm also amazed how easily sometimes people can be affected if they're not careful. And it happens slow over time. In the end times, there's going to be a lot going on during the tribulation. But there's a verse that's really good, I think, that really helps us. Even in our time, because we are in the end times. In fact, the end times have been since Jesus' ascension. Do you know that? We've been in the end times for 2,000 years. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. There we go. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. But notice this, so as to mislead, not that they can mislead, if possible, which means it's not possible, even the saved, even the elect. In other words, what Jesus is saying is during that time in history, and praise God, I believe we'll be raptured, we won't be here, but if you're here, we'll be watching, okay? So as even to mislead, but praise God. Because we follow and we listen to the voice of the shepherd, the genuine believer will not be misled because they follow the voice of the shepherd. That's why when I eat a bowl of cereal and it's a little bit off and the milk is a little bit sour, I can know very soon and quickly that there's something wrong about that teaching. There's something about that teaching that makes me very, very uncomfortable. They're just getting ready to sing a song, okay? They're not leaving the church or anything. Now, as we kind of wind this down, Jesus, praise God, is our shepherd. But how did the sheep in Judaism, or how do people at large who don't know Jesus, how do they get to the place where they're able to call Jesus their shepherd? That's a good question. It's very easy, but yet, for some, very difficult. They have to walk through the door. Because Jesus said in verse 7, I am the door. In verse 11, he says, I am the shepherd. Jesus, the door, he's the passageway. What does a door represent? Well, for example, If I want to go from the auditorium to the cafe, I have to go through a door. Say, what's the big deal, Jerry? That opens up something new. What was Jesus saying with the door? Come through the door and experience the new covenant of grace. The new covenant of grace. The old represents the law. Come through the door. Jesus said when he was performing the Lord's Supper, there in the book of Matthew, he said, this is the new covenant I'm sharing with you. No longer men, no longer Jews, no longer would people have to take animals to the temple. No. Jesus said, I am the Lamb. It was John who saw Jesus afar off, and in John 1:29, he said, behold, there he is, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The door. So who are we today? We're pitiful, but I'm going to tell you what, church, we are precious. We're pitiful in our lost state, but we are precious in the state of knowing Jesus. God loves us with a love that I don't think will ever, even in eternity, be able to fully understand as human beings. How God could leave heaven. Imagine that. Think of the nicest place on the earth. Some of your minds are already running to Fenway Park. I see it. Yeah, to you, that's Fenway Park. And that's fine. Whatever it is to you, doesn't matter. Think of any place on the earth that you could go to. A palace, a beach, the U.S. Open, Fenway Park. Taco Bell, I mean, it doesn't matter, right? That's what Jesus did for us. He left that place. And he humbled himself. According to Philippians chapter 2. Amazing. Verses 5 through 11. And he took upon himself this flesh, so he could show us how precious we are. I want you to think about passing through the door by crying out by faith, repenting of your sin, inviting the shepherd into your life. And you can only do that if you walk through the door by faith. I've asked Jody and Jason and Jess to sing a song this morning. I think you're really going to be blessed by it. Then we're going to come back and have our invitation and give you the opportunity to walk through the door and allow the Good Shepherd to be your shepherd. So as we dim the lights, as they come, let's be in a state of prayer and reflective as they share this wonderful song of how much God loves us.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling, you believe it? Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Give him your heart today. Bring your sorrow and trade them for joy. For in the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is
all stand together and sing with them, if you would.
Oh, hallelujah! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down and
Father's arms are open wide.
Forgiveness was bought with
the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with
the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, we are both pitiful and precious. If you don't know the shepherd today, we would like to give you the opportunity to walk through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. The door to what, Jerry? The door to eternal life. And we want to put a prayer on the screen that we use often here at Cross Point. We call it the sinner's prayer. If you're here with us, and if you were to die today, God forbid, but if you were to die today, would you know for certain that heaven is your home? Have you made a commitment, a personal commitment to God? Are you willing today to repent of your sin, to recognize that your sin is keeping you from going through the door? Are you willing to have a change of mind Are you willing to accept the shepherd who loves you and cares for you? If you are this morning, we'd invite you to pray this prayer. Jesus, the great shepherd, I know that you are the Savior. You're the door of the world who died for me on the cross. And right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life and save my soul. For those of you that have already made the commitment to Jesus, you've already walked through the door, would you be willing to pray the second half of this verse and mean it? Help me to grow spiritually as your disciple and to continue the path of becoming more like you, the great shepherd, every single day. If you made that commitment today, if you prayed that prayer, we'll be at the Connection Center after the service this morning. I'll be there. Pencil will be there. Deb will be there. Others will be there. Just come by and simply say, hey, I prayed that prayer. And we'll be so, listen, we will be so happy for you. Do you know if you made that commitment this morning, the Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. That's what it says in the book of Luke. They're rejoicing. And we'd like to just talk to you and get you on the journey to learning more about God and becoming that disciple, because we care about your soul. We care about your spiritual life. And you'd say, Jerry, I don't know. I'm still kind of thinking about it. Well, that's okay. And I'll just pray that the Holy Spirit of God will just continue to work in your life and draw you to himself. And that you'll be reminded of a service like this and think, wow, okay, maybe there's something to that. And we would encourage you, if that's you, to contact us. We'd love to send you materials. We'd love to sit down with you. Anything that we can do to help you spiritually, that is our goal at Crosspoint Church. And we want you to know, of all the churches in the world, we love you the most. And that's the truth. Because if it wasn't, I'd be in the one that I love the most. And that's the truth. So we care about you. I love you. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Amen. Aren't you thankful? I'm an alliteration guy, Pastor Pencil. I can remember Pastor Pencil was pitiful but precious. Aren't you glad that God sees us as pitiful but precious, and that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer, our Creator. He's our door. He's our friend. He's our Savior. Amen. What a great shepherd. What a great Savior. Just want to remind you, just before we go, tonight there's a lot of activities going on as well. We have a student service tonight, Refuel. Love to see the students there tonight. Our doors open and thrive at 5 o'clock. There's also a plethora of other services for children and for you as well. If you haven't been here on a Sunday night, we would encourage you, we would implore you to come on back. I'm going to be out helping Pastor Steve at the trunk or treat, at the excitement table, and we would love for you to volunteer for that as well. Let's pray. Father God, we love you today. We thank you that our great Creator became our shepherd. Took on one of the lowliest positions so that we could be your kids. God, we love you for that. And we love you because we can listen to our shepherd's voice. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And because of our shepherd, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My God, we love you. And now let me send you with this blessing. May the Lord our God, our great shepherd, may you listen to his voice today. May you respond. And may Bangor be different because you obeyed the shepherd's voice. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Pastor Jerry's at the Connection Center. Have a lovely Sunday. We look forward to seeing you tonight.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Cross Point Church today. It's such a blessing to have people like you tuning in on a regular basis. And by the way, if this is your first time joining us, thank you. Would you let us know by way of email or a phone call or drop us a letter or maybe drop by the church, any way that you seem appropriate, would you let us know today if you've made a personal decision either to draw closer to God or even more importantly, if you made a decision today to receive Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior, I would love to know that. I'd love to send you materials or put materials in your hand so you can grow closer to God. Email us, let us know. We would love to have that information. And by the way, join us again on another broadcast right here. God bless and have a wonderful day.